Welcome to the Ackerman Center podcast.
As a digital extension of the Ackerman Center, our goal is to teach the past so we can change the future.
In doing so, we address issues related to the Holocaust, genocide, and human rights studies from diverse perspectives.
Hi, and welcome back to the Ackerman Center podcast. Today we will be discussing the Netflix original film, The Forgotten Battle, and we have with us the lovely Dr. Emily Rose Baker to discuss the film with us.
Hi, Angie. Thanks for the intro.
We should get right into it. Let's give the listeners a quick summary of what The Forgotten Battle is actually about.
As you already said, Angie, it's a Netflix original. It was released in 2020 and directed by Matthias van Heiningen Jr. And it's set during the Battle of the Scheldt during the Second World War and the last year of the war, 1994. And this film traces the entwined lives of a glider pilot whose name in the film is William Sinclair, a Nazi soldier whose film name is Marinus van Staveren, and a resistance recruit named Dirk Visser. We see these lives play out and come together in kind of a tragic and gritty way throughout the film.
The lives that we see playing out in the film, the resistance fighter, the pilot, even the Nazi soldier who at some point in the movie kind of has this epiphany about what his position really stands for, and it kind of becomes a crisis for him. You know, like he's realizing maybe I'm on the wrong side here, and what am I actually fighting for? And I mean, it's just the three characters, and even the sister of the resistance fighter, Tun, you know, it's just despair and devastation, and how do we get out of this difficult situation?
Also, you know, the protagonists we follow in the film are all young, which I think makes that devastation even worse or more difficult to bear as a viewer. It's a fairly grey film. Definitely get a sense for the historical period, particularly in the, you know, the sequences of warfare. There really is no saving grace. There's no happy ending.
Does it give us any other indication of how accurately and how historically true to the events the movie is?
The film is historically accurate based on true events, but the three protagonists are fictional. So this film is called The Forgotten Battle. So why was this battle forgotten, and why is it important that we remember it today?
Typically, when we think about the pivotal moment in World War II that changed the tide for the Allies and really started pushing the Germans back on the Western Front was the invasion at Normandy. That's, you know, the big one. But this battle was crucial as well because the objective was to regain access to the port of Antwerp and the surrounding area so that they could land Allied troops and begin to push the Germans further back on the Western side. So I think it's forgotten because of the fact that, you know, even though it was a key military battle in the for the Allies, it's often overshadowed by the Battle of Normandy. Does this film actually give us any sort of perspective, any glimpse into the Holocaust? What do you think?
You know, the Holocaust is for the most part peripheral, I think, to this movie. But there is what seems to be a kind of pivotal sequence in the film in which it's directly invoked. This is a movie, obviously, you know, the title, The Forgotten Battle, the movie is centered narratively about, on the Battle of the Scheldt, but it's also perhaps a movie about the extent to active resistance. How far would you go? You know, it puts us in the shoes of different characters from different, you know, whether that be a resistance fighter, a Nazi perpetrator, bystander, and perhaps asks us to think about, you know, what kinds of decisions we make. But the resistance, the kind of organized resistance aspect, even then it is interesting. And I think there's a moment where the resistance fighters are faced with the decision to shoot a Nazi up close. And even then, one of his Nazi friends has shot one of the resistance fighters. Members of the group say, you know, you don't have to do this. Even then, there is question over, I don't know, that moral aspect of combat.
the characters that we are following are very young, and just having to make these very big moral decisions at their young ages, and the way that they grapple with the world that's unfolding around them, I think is very interesting. And you said, you know, how this is the forgotten battle. And I think it, you know, it's a forgotten battle on so many layers, because we have the different layers of resistance, the resistance of the Dutch. We have the resistance of even the Nazi soldier who, you know, has lost sight of what he's fighting for. You know, what is this really all about? How does this apply to me? What is my personal stake in this? I mean, there's a lot of battling that's happening both externally and internally with our characters. So I think that's something that's really interesting to focus on.
I don't know, the other thing I suppose that the film pertains to that's forgotten is, you know, the casualties and the lives lost in this particular battle. At the end of the film, we see an intertitle that said that the battle cost 3,231 Allied lives, 4,256 German lives, and 2,283 civilian lives. So the human cost of this battle is huge as well. It's not just, you know, from a strategic perspective that we need to remember this event. I suppose that, you know, brings up the question of a question that's really central to the Ackerman Center, which is about memory and remembrance. And why is it important to remember?
You know, what's interesting about memory here, too, is I feel like there are parts of the memory that are being left out on purpose, maybe because that wasn't necessarily the focus. The Dutch resistance was largely responsible for moving Jewish people to safety. That's something that we see the Dutch resistance obviously play an important role in the film, but they're playing a role in a military capacity here, like delivering strategic information to the Allies so that they can defeat the Germans. But I mean, that wasn't necessarily the only thing that they did. I mean, they did help secure the safety of Jewish people who were fleeing the Reich. So I think that's interesting, you know, that part is not included. And like we talked about earlier, that the reference to the Holocaust is very, very much on the peripheral. I think even during that scene, we get, you know, this faint background noise of screaming while he's talking about Kelmo. And, you know, that's meant to just signify the suffering that's happening in the background, but it still stays very much in the background. It's not important. And neither is the, you know, the role that the resistance was taking in the Jewish lives that they were saving.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, it strikes me as an interesting move not to mention more of the Dutch rescue effort as well, since this is a Dutch-Belgian production. You know, you might have thought that might have played a role in, you know, the national context of the film might have played a role in what kinds of narratives it conveyed. What is so interesting is that draws our attention very much to the visual aspect of remembering and of these events, and also the importance of kind of, I don't know, photojournalism, because Dirk's role actually is less combative and is to take photographs of where the Nazis are, where they're positioned near the port, and to take images of them. And so that also broadens our perspective of what resistance constitutes, but also of the importance of this kind of visual documentary evidence of the Holocaust and the Second World War in the prosecution and the bringing of justice to perpetrators.
We're quickly entering the post-witness era, and there's obviously a very contested, you know, feeling about how and if we teach the Holocaust right now. And I think it's very important with these films, you know, that they're sure the films at the base are meant for entertainment, but, you know, if they're going to venture into these historical venues, that there is a responsibility there to portray them in a way that is responsible. You know, they need to make sure that they're giving their viewers an accurate picture and also an accurate history, because, you know, as I was saying about the post-witness era, you know, the further we move away from this event, the more complicated the memory and the record of it becomes. And if we've come to rely on films, which a lot of people have, to receive their, you know, history lessons, we want to make sure that we're giving the right information and giving, creating the right picture here. And, you know, that's something that, although these Netflix films are great and interesting and, you know, obviously for a historian, I find them interesting and I'm drawn to them too. But, you know, I'm equipped with the historical knowledge to be able to tell the difference between what is historically accurate, what is romanticized, what is fictionalized, you know, and I can distinguish that, the truth from the Hollywood, but a lot of viewers can't do that. And I think that there's a very important responsibility here for the filmmakers. And what do you think about that?
It's a really interesting point, and actually sometimes something that I think about a lot, especially for my, you know, classes and stuff, because if you are presented with, you know, as in the case of this film, a very realistic depiction of a battle, especially when you have, you know, those informative kind of intertitles, it almost feels like you're watching, you know, it's obviously historical reconstruction, that's what it is. But it feels like you're there. That's the point of the film. And so when something is presented to you in those terms, you know, we know that film is one of the mediums, the art mediums, that is the most similar to real life, right? Motion pictures, there is movement, there is dialogue, there's, you know, it's image and sound. You know, it's different from any other medium. And because of that, kind of immediacy of access, you wouldn't necessarily question whether something is real. You know, when something is marketed as even based on, you know, real events, how many people are going to go away and do some research? And again, it comes down to this question of why are people watching these films? You know, you could just be somebody who really enjoys this kind of genre and actually are not looking to take anything away from it historically. Could be the opposite. Something else that I don't know if I have a full point about this, but I was reading some reviews of the film and I read one that said that it was interesting that although this film deals with allies, it's not US allies that we're seeing, and that, you know, it's Canadian and British and Dutch. And I think another thing that's important that I missed out when we were talking about authenticity and historical precision and accuracy. This film encompasses, it's transnational and encompasses a lot of different languages. So there are Dutch, British, German, and Canadian actors in the film, and they're all speaking in their own language, which I think really lends the film an authentic feel. And I think that definitely adds to our feeling of, I don't know, it feels like an authentic war film, even if parts of, you know, aspects of it are fictionalized.
The films that we've had in the past are very Americanized. They're very, the perspective is very skewed. It's not very accurate. So I think in that respect, you know, there was some accuracy and some justice done in the sake of, you know, illuminating all the players and what exactly transpired, you know, for those other Allied soldiers. It wasn't the swoop in and save the day. I mean, it was hard and it was devastating and it was deadly for them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one other thing about the military fighting that I felt was relevant today, particularly, I don't know if you remember, I think it was a soldier on the German side, you know, we're in the trenches, we're given that perspective. There's a lot going on. There's a chaos of military fighting. And there's to go back to this idea of being young and caught up in war and warfare. There's a young boy who looks like a teenager and Marinus sees him and he is visibly shaken and he's struggling to get up. And I think his commander comes over and says, "You have to get up," and maybe puts a gun to his head. I can't remember. Something happens to the commander. But this, you know, gives us such an important and saddening message today, you know, in the context of Russia's war of aggression in Ukraine, where we see young men and women in some cases being conscripted against their will to fight and having that insight into the grim reality of having to push, even though the outcome, you know, is devastating. I don't know, I think sheds important light on our current moment and lives lost in other kinds of conflict.
We have a tendency to vilify all of those on the other side, right? All the soldiers that fight on the opposition. We think they're all, evil, or they're all invested. They're all fighting for the same cause. But I think this movie does a very good job of highlighting the fact that a lot of these are young men who maybe didn't have a choice or thought they were signing up for something completely different than what they signed up for. And they just don't support the cause as wholeheartedly. They're just, you know, trying to survive. And, you know, that scene that you illustrated with Marinus, I mean, I think that was a really important moment for him as well. The officer did end up shooting that young man because he wouldn't get up. And then he tried to run. So he shot him. And it really impacted Marinus. He screamed out. He was upset, visibly upset about, you know, seeing this happen. And it's just another, it just illustrates the fact that, you know, on both sides, good and bad, on both sides, you know, it's just young people who are caught up in the mess of, you know, people who are much higher up the ladder than they are. And they just have to deal with the consequences of that and do what they can to survive.
It just strikes me though, I just remembered another moment, you know, at the end of the battle in which Marinus comes face to face with an allied soldier, and there's a very, very tense moment in which Marinus has his gun to the soldier's head, eventually puts it down, and then the allied soldier puts his gun to Marinus's head, and eventually they both put their guns down and walk away.
Right, and they have tears in their eyes while they're, you know, especially Marinus, he's crying while he's doing this. You know, he doesn't want to do it. He's by this point in the film, he's just completely being dragged along, and he doesn't want to be a part of it anymore. And I think the soldier you're referring to, the British soldier, William, you know, he was a tow pilot, and, you know, he went into this with these, I think, visions of glory, right? Like a lot of young men in that generation did, visions of glory, and I'm going to be a war hero. And then once reality set in, his plane was shot down, and then he becomes a foot soldier as well. He's realizing it's not quite what he expected. And, you know, he too does not want to be a part of this. He just wants to get home.
That's important context for William, because there's that, you know, he, as you said, wants that glory. He's told by his commander that, you know, he's not ready to contribute to the war effort as a pilot. He does so anyway. And I feel like he sees that as some kind of sacrifice, but actually the tough time, to put it very lightly, that he does have in the battle really rails against the kind of triumphalism that he seeks, and that sometimes colours narratives, particularly in the West, of the war.
That's really illustrative of the fact that, you know, people just get swept into this, and it's not always by choice. And at the core of it all, you know, they're just people. They're just humans trying to survive, and, you know, unfortunately sometimes get pulled into the battles of other people and have to figure out a way out of it. I'd like to thank Dr. Baker again for joining us on this conversation about The Forgotten Battle, the Netflix original film.
Thank you for having me.
This podcast is hosted by a team of dedicated faculty and research assistants at the Ackerman Center for Holocaust Studies.
You can learn more about our work and find upcoming events at our website, www.ackerman.utdallas.edu.